Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
As I said, we're talking about a series called Generous. We're going into the season of Advent and onward towards Christmas. And we're going to be spending time looking at the themes that we uncover through Advent. As Nick mentioned earlier, the first theme of the first Sunday of Advent is hope. And we're going to look at that theme of hope through a text in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 2. So I'd like to begin by reading that for you. There was the baby lying in the manger, and after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I was talking with a friend this week, and we were discussing how interesting it is that so many people who have little background with the church or Christian background either, who say that they're, or seem to be rather, really quite interested in the Christmas season, that the time of year comes along and a lot of people get invested, a lot of people come out of the woodwork and get involved. And we agreed that there's something about the kindness and the mystery and the hope of the season that somehow makes its way out through all the different methods, even if it's the vast amounts of crazy commercialism. Somehow it gets out there and it draws people in. And we said that it feels a little bit like we're all being lured by this single candle that is burning deep in quiet woods. And we're welcoming one another to step out of the darkness and into this light that burns this time of year, to draw closer together and to warm our hands around it. And it's as if we're all creeping out of the darkness, as this time of year can get quite dark in the morning and the evenings, and we're saying to one another, come get closer, step out of the darkness and move inward toward the light. The woods are so dark, as it were, that some people, however, are suspicious. They're suspicious, not quite sure of what to make of the warmth, not quite sure of what to make of the gathering and the light. What does this single, brightly burning light in the middle of darkness mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for the world that I live in? That question of what does it mean is a little bit similar to some of the thoughts that come out of this Luke chapter 2 reading. Reading St. Luke's gospel, we discover really quickly his use of the word astonished, or what's sometimes translated amazed. It first appears when the shepherds get together and they share their experience of Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus. And according to Luke, the result is that when the shepherds share that news in the surrounding area, all who hear the shepherd's story were astonished. And really, that's the first public reaction to God's action in the world through the life of Jesus. Astonishment at the birth of a child and what is called good news that will bring great joy to all people. Amazement is the response to God's generous love within a dark, a disconnected, and a mistrusting world. And astonishment, we might agree, isn't an uncommon reaction to generosity today either. And when we experience generosity, even in the most ordinary of moments, we're often taken aback. We're really not quite sure of what to do with it. Someone helps us when they don't have to. Someone forgives us, letting us in from the cold when we've otherwise been shut out. Someone gives us something that we couldn't give ourselves. Very often, these sorts of moments are unexpected, and so generosity is met with a kind of shock because we've become accustomed to living in a world where charity isn't really found in abundance. we get used to just scraping by. For all our technological progression, all of our growth as a species, we still live in a world where too many don't have enough. Enough love, enough provision, a world with too many refugee camps, too many threats of war and turmoil, too many lonely people, too many forgotten names. Right now, we're being told by the UN that there's 13 million people in Yemen who are on the brink of starvation. And the UN's predicting that as possibly the world's worst famine in 100 years. There's a civil war that's raging, and each side is backed by other nations, nations that have their own vested interests, and it's these people who are just caught in the middle. So the world, many times, doesn't feel like much of a generous place. So when we bump into a generous person or a generous action, we could be forgiven for tilting our heads and raising an eyebrow and asking, is it really true? Can we really trust that generosity is as present and as at work in the world as greed and selfishness? We stand there, dumbfounded, trying to wrap our minds around the possibilities. As much as we welcome the generosity of other people, we're not always ready to depend on it. Is that blip on the radar, we might ask, really to be trusted? At the same time, if we were pressed to think of one word that sums up the entire Christian story, one word that best defines the God of the Bible as seen through the figure of Jesus, it would be difficult to think of a better word than generous. That's what bursts through the narrative from the very beginning all the way to the end. But is it really true? We ask. Can we really trust that God is generous? And do we dare imagine a future? A future that Jesus seemed to envision, in which we, human beings, might learn to be generous with one another. Those are the kinds of questions that we might have in the world that we live when we're faced with the message of Advent and Christmas. And those are the same kinds of questions that are asked by the characters that we read in and around Luke 2 and in Matthew's gospel and in all of Scripture, because they also lived in a world where generosity felt, many times, more than a little off the radar. But the story we read at Advent and Christmas of Jesus' birth and his infancy is about what's creeping onto the radar. That strange sense that something slowly but surely is shifting, is growing, that a light is shining in deep darkness. The news that something is shifting, that something is shining, is what the Bethlehem shepherds share when they meet Jesus. News that says that God's loving character can actually be trusted, that the generous action of God was finally dawning on the world, as Luke writes earlier, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And that's really the news at Jesus' birth that the shepherds are sharing. Darkness won't be a given forever. The light is here. Restlessness is fading, and peace is actually a possibility. Greed and selfishness isn't a foregone conclusion for our world. Generosity is on the horizon. As Gandalf says to Frodo, deep in the black mines of Moria in the Fellowship of the Ring, there are other forces at work in this world besides the will of evil. And that's a hopeful thought to hold on to. But for all who witness daily the effects of greed and selfishness and hatred, it is almost unbelievable. So astonishment, amazement, is a normal reaction to the hope that is presented to us at Christmas and at Advent. Astonishment is where we begin when we first encounter the message of the season, facing up to the truth about God should rightly send us reeling. If we're not amazed by the gospel of Jesus, have we really let it wash over us? Have we really faced the music as it's written? Have we really dared to imagine the possibilities? The music, as it's written, is humming that generosity, generosity is at the heart of everything. That God's generous love is the truth, the truest thing in the universe. That smack in the middle of everything, holding everything together, is the reality of a being who is endlessly selfless and actually at work amongst us as we speak. And no matter how hard it might be for us to believe, the abundance that actually flows from this source is given to us freely. And so it's quite fitting that throughout Christian history and tradition, Amazing Grace has become the most famous of our hymns, isn't it? How else do you respond to that news? Perhaps that's the astonishing thing about the baby that's lying in a feeding trough. Reading the Gospels for me sometimes feels as if I'm being told, right, there you are. Take it or leave it. Pick it up or let it shiver in the cold. But the truth has arrived, and the truth is generous. Now, what are you going to do with it? And that is jarring in a world like ours. It's only natural for us to step back like those people that the shepherds told in astonishment. The emphatic generosity of Jesus' life causes us to respond, hang on, I need to take another look at this. I thought I had the world worked out, but this news changes things. This light puts things in a different perspective. Some translators of Luke's gospel use the word wonder instead of amazement or astonishment. And taken seriously, I think that's exactly what the generous news about Jesus produces. Wonder. Because of Jesus, we have a reason to wonder, to be amazed at the possibilities of a future filled with plenty rather than scarcity, of light rather than darkness. And so I'd also suggest that our interest in glowing trees, bowing over heaps of presents, and lit houses filled with family and friends in the gloomy midwinter might have something to do with that wonder, might have something to do with that longing for light and plenty. So this time of year, Advent, and then moving on towards Christmas, in large part, is really just about stepping back and trying to take in what we hardly have room to compute, what we long for, but can barely find the courage to hope for. The season is about being overwhelmed by a truth that seems too good to be true. Could God really be generous? And could we each step further into the light and the warmth of his love and learn how to be generous with one another? All those lights and warm embraces, all those gifts and carols, I think, draw us to the remembrance of that reality and that hope. And that astonishing, amazing, wondrous news that we hear during this time of year is just that. It's intrinsically hopeful. And hope is what we are drawn to in this first week of Advent. Hope that things can change because God is here and at work. Hope that our simple need, wherever we are, could be met. Hope that 13 million people on the brink of starvation in Yemen isn't the end of the human story. Hope that we can leave the selfishness and the scarcity that we know each of us can carry in our hearts behind, by opening up to God's humble and plentiful love. Hope that God can be found even in the deepest and darkest of spots. And maybe that's where you are today, in what feels like the deepest and darkest of spots. This time of year says to you that God, yes, can even be found there. So during this season, as we kneel by the manger, and as we draw close to the candle that's burning brightly in those deep, dark woods, we're invited to hope in God's generosity, even if it feels like an absolutely audacious posture. The friend that I was talking about earlier this week, we were talking about all kinds of things relating to Christmas and Advent and all those things that come along with a season like that. And I asked her, as someone who is in the midst of great challenge and need and pain and suffering, I asked her, what's your favorite Christmas carol? And without missing a beat, she said, O Come, Emmanuel. And then I asked her why. And she said, because I need him to come. I need him. I need him to arrive. I need to trust that he is with me. I need to trust that he's right here. O Come, Emmanuel is a hymn, a song of hope that we sing and that we pray together. It's a song that we can sing our longing through, our longing for God's love and God's light. Gracious Lord, we bring you our hearts today. If they're in scarcity or darkness, and we ask that you bring your plentiful love and your light, and fill us. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope of this season, the hope that you're here, that you're present, that you're working, that you're generous. I ask in Jesus' name that you'd bless us as we go into this week, that we can be people who walk out with hope and with light and with much to give. Thank you, God, for all that you give. We welcome it as we go into this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week, if not before.